Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
This is Ray Hadley in the Morning, right across Australia.
And good morning and welcome. Monday the 1st of June, I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have your company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations of the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Top of 16 in the city of Sydney, same out west, 23 in Brisbane. We'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. No matter where you are, the number is 131873. Email me either rayhadley.com, 2gb.com and 4bc.com.au. You can access information from the program by going to facebook.com/ The Ray Hadley Morning Show. You know, it doesn't probably mean too much to you. I know I sound a bit crook, but I feel fantastic. The old voice isn't too good because I've had the flu since about Saturday. But you wouldn't believe it. I'm sitting here with one headphone on because as I turned the microphone on, my headphone fell off my head. So I'm under extreme difficulty here. One headphone, a crook voice, but you're there. 131873 is the open line number. Email me, rayhadley.com, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au. Access information from the program or go to facebook.com/ The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Well, last night, I hope you saw it, 60 Minutes on the Nine Network interviewed a gentleman named Peter Saunders. He's a victim of paedophilia. He's been appointed by the Pope to the Catholic Church's Commission of Protection of Minors. Mr. Saunders was highly critical, highly critical of Cardinal George Pell, who is now this morning threatening legal action. Now, Cardinal Pell has issued a statement, a media statement today, and I'll read it in part. Cardinal Pell has been informed of the contents of the 60 Minutes program. The false and misleading claims made by against his eminence are outrageous. From his earliest actions as the Archbishop, Cardinal Pell has taken a strong stand against child sexual abuse and put in place processes to enable complaints to be brought forward and independently investigated. I'll just interrupt the statement there to say this. If he was always, as an Archbishop and even as a priest, so opposed to child sexual abuse, can he explain to all of us what he was doing walking into court with that vile pedophile Gerald Ridsdale, who perhaps is the worst of the worst when it comes to pedophiles, and every time it turns my stomach, I keep seeing George Pell walking into court back in about 1993 with that dreadful, dreadful man who's still in jail. Anyway, back to Cardinal Pell. He's never met Mr. Peter Saunders, who seems to have formed these strong opinions without having spoken to His Eminence. Well, sometimes you don't need to speak to His Eminence to find out what you think of things. In light of the available material, including evidence from the Cardinal under oath, there's no excuse for broadcasting incorrect and prejudicial material. In the circumstances, the Cardinal is left with no alternative but to talk to his legal advisers. A copy of the statement provided to 60 Minutes prior to the broadcast is attached. Now, what I'll do this morning is play for you excerpts of what went to air last night on 60 Minutes, and it's quite clear that either His Eminence had a lapse in memory or said one thing about 13 years ago and a completely different thing in front of an inquiry in Victoria more recently. Anyway, I'll get to that a little bit later. Because the problem for His Eminence is the number of years ago he offered one answer concerning the abuse of a young girl, and then in front of this Victorian inquiry, he gave evidence that contradicted his earlier statements. Now, I'll play that audio for you a little bit later. The New South Wales State Coroner will hand down a most important decision this week. Janet Fife Yeomans, as she normally does, writing in the Telegraph, got it all covered. State Coroner Michael Barnes will decide this week if decisions to grant gunman Man Monis bail will be investigated in full by the inquest into the Martin Place siege. The DPP, via their director, Lloyd Babb, SC, has tried to block the inquest from examining the bail decision, arguing the issues were too wide. Well, wouldn't Mr. Babb, as the Director of Public Prosecutions, want the truth to be told? Isn't that what coroners are charged with doing? Mr. Babb, what have you got to worry about? It wasn't you, Mr. Babb, that changed the bail laws. It was your Attorney General, Mr. Greg Smith, who changed the bail laws. The reasons behind the DPP's argument are expected to be revealed as the inquest moved into its second week, looking into Man Monis's background. Now, at the time of the siege last year, December, in which the cafe manager Tory Johnson and the barrister Katrina Dawson were murdered, Monis was on bail for charges of being an accessory to the murder of his wife, and she was burned alive, by the way, and on 43 charges of sexually assaulting seven women. The women were clients who'd consulted him as a spiritual leader, who said he could lift black magic curses they believed they had placed on them. Like I said, I thought the coroner's inquest was always about finding out the truth. And I'll be interested to see whether the coroner, who recently, of course, transferred from Queensland down to New South Wales, is of the same opinion, that it's about finding out the truth. Because at the end of the day, the truth must be revealed in this matter and in others. We can't simply have selective examination of the facts. We need to know all the things that occurred, all the things. Front page story of the Daily Telegraph today is of some concern. Charles Miranda is there. Former King's Cross gangsters are now running one of the world's biggest drug cartels, trafficking in tons of cocaine and ecstasy each year, while international authorities concede they're almost powerless to stop them. An investigation by the Telegraph has discovered the Balkan-based gangs, led by some of Australia's most wanted men, have established entrenched infiltration of almost every level of Australian society, recruiting young criminals to aid in the shipments of illicit drugs into the nation's ports. The cartel, run by a group of notorious Sydney gangsters who don't live here anymore, they once controlled the King's Cross Golden Mile. They've now gone to Montenegro, they've gone to Spain and Holland, and they bring drugs back here, along with guns and cash. A great concern to everyone, obviously. Now, a story to hand in the last hour or so. A house has been destroyed and another two alight on the New South Wales Central Coast as a bushfire burns on the first day of winter. Fire Rescue New South Wales said this place at Cocagabana went up in flames this morning and the blaze spread to two other houses. Now, I'm a bit perturbed by this because the RFS had a report originally that someone was burning off. Now, they won't confirm those reports. They told us that earlier. All of a sudden, they've gone a bit shy on what happened. So if it is someone burning off for the first day of winter, it's gone horribly wrong. Horribly wrong. Now, we often talk on the program about wasting taxpayers' money. Taxpayers, we're told today in the Daily Telegraph, gave a Sydney woman $20,000 to make people yawn. Well, I know some radio broadcasters that would do it without ever charging. The bizarre grant from the Australian Council was awarded to someone called Michaela Davies to induce, quote, a state of boredom. There's no way I could have made that work without the money, she said. In an investigation into how the Council has spent its hundreds of millions of public dollars, Sydney headed the national list of grants. Over the past 12 months, the Australia Council for the Arts allocated a staggering $3.6 million through 101 grants to people and organisations in the Deputy Opposition Leader Tanya Plibersek's Sydney seat, basket weavers, or in this particular case, people who want to be bored. Among the lucky recipients of the cash was the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority, a statutory body that recorded a profit of more than $5 million. It was given $20,000 to pilot a capacity building program with culturally and linguistically diverse community. Oh, I don't know what that means. It's beyond me. The most provocative was the one that went to Miss Davies. In July last year, she was given $20,000 for a yawning room at Woolloomooloo. Yawning room is a participation audio-video installation aiming to induce involuntary yawning. Like I said, I can give her various ways to yawn, and it won't cost anyone $20,000. Anyway, I know that the Prime Minister has other things on his plate at the moment. But surely to goodness, giving all that money away when we're asking everyone else to rein in should be high on his list of priorities, one would imagine. Now, there was an interesting story yesterday in the News Limited papers, Samantha Maiden, in the Sunday Telegraph. I've got to run just about everywhere. And it talks about the leadership spill for the Prime Minister, February 8. And it says here that it was, I guess, designed by Malcolm Turnbull and Julie Bishop. Scott Morrison was involved in it. That'll be interesting because he'll be on the program in about 25 minutes. By the way, Stephen's just phoned from the Spit Bridge. A van in the right-hand lane northbound on Spit Road, 150 metres before the bridge. There's a problem there for listeners in Sydney. The only question for our party is, do we want to reduce ourselves to the level of the Labor Party, the Prime Minister had said at the time. But what if the spill motion was successful? It would be irresponsible, Turnbull told his colleagues, not to discuss what would happen next. Well, Paul Malcolm's always wanted to be Prime Minister, but Paul Malcolm has now been leapfrogged by others, maybe Morrison, maybe others, but Paul Malcolm won't be the Prime Minister. And apparently, Paul Malcolm, there's more leaks than you'd find in a sieve here from the Cabinet about what's been going on. A debating Cabinet last Monday, not over revoking the citizenship of dual nationals, which has broad support, wrote Samantha, the argument was about the prospect of revoking Australian-born citizens of their rights if they had foreign parents and the possibility of citizenship elsewhere. But all accounts, Turnbull was in what was described as a vile mood. He later told colleagues he was quite cross. Now, that's Eastern Suburbs speak for, I'm absolutely effing filthy. That's how. I'm quite cross with you. If you lived in far western Sydney or came from where I came from originally, you'd say, yeah, I'm effing filthy about this. But where you live in, where Malcolm lives and that rarefied atmosphere, you're quite cross. That's as cranky as you can get in the eastern suburbs, getting quite cross. Anyway, we'll talk to Scott Morrison about what he knows or doesn't know. Whether he'll answer the questions, I have absolutely no idea, but we'll attack that. Margaret Keneen has gone on this radio station I work for in Sydney, 2GB, and spoken to my colleague Miranda Devine last night, and she denied telling her son's girlfriend to fake chest pains after she was involved in a car crash to avoid a breath test. She told 2GB's Miranda Devine that it was very dismaying how the ICAC had behaved since the allegations that she coached Sophia Tilley to tell police she was in pain after the crash. Devine asked, did you tell Sophia to fake the chest pains? Of course not. Now, the ICAC needs to be held to account. Now, if the Premier had any, he'd go straight to the ICAC now, to the Commissioner, and say, what's all this nonsense about? I thought you wanted to get those disgraced politicians now going after Keneen again. She's had to stand down from a murder trial because of you. I think the ICAC, at the moment, is on a course of destruction. We have an investigation into whether we have too many investigative bodies at the moment, including the ICAC, the Police Integrity Commission, the Ombudsman. They keep going. Professional standards. It goes on and on and on. Crime Commission. And what the Premier, I know there's a separation of powers, but they when complete lunacy takes over, the Premier's got to be even-handed and make sure the state's not at risk of becoming a laughingstock nationally by the behaviour of some recalcitrant people within the ICAC. It appears to me they are intent on getting Keneen. They had no luck with the High Court. They're going to try and usurp the decision of the High Court and go in another direction. I don't know that the High Court would be too happy with Megan Latham deciding that she can go after Margaret Keneen after she was told she couldn't go after Margaret Keneen. And a rugby club doctor has been praised for a quick thinking after she performed an emergency on-field operation to save the life of a player. Parramatta rugby official said the Sydney University Club doctor, Catherine Ray. She conducted a radical procedure on a young player with a collapsed lung and saved him from going into cardiac arrest. He's only 19. Andrew Vatavei, a cousin allegedly of Manu. He took a blow to the sternum. He suffered a punctured lung, led to the lung collapsing, creating life-threatening pressure on his chest cavity, and Dr. Ray rushed to the aid of the Parramatta physio and did what she had to do. And it says if he hadn't have done it, he would have gone into cardiac arrest and could well have died. So well done to you, Catherine Ray. Very lucky to have you at that rugby field over the course of the weekend. Fantastic. Now, in sport, there's plenty about today, and most notably, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it my life's work today to find out whether it's Stephen Bowditch or Stephen Bowditch. All the American commentators, including Ian Baker Finch, called him Bowditch. Now, the only Bowditch I know is a jockey from South Australia who used to ride in Queensland. I think he's Jason Bowditch, and he's called Bowditch. I notice our newsreader at 9 o'clock said Bowditch. I notice other people say Bowditch. I say Bowditch. But we're going to place a call, and we might even try and talk to Stephen if we can, but he's probably a bit busy. But he's won the Byron Nelson in Texas. And this is a fantastic performance. He lives nearby with his Texan wife. He's earned 1.67 million Australian. That's doubling his earnings so far this year. Cameron Percy, another Australian who's in his 40s, Cameron, he finished 10th at 10 under. Rod Pampling was, he was playing in the secondary tour recently. Well, he's back in the main PGA. He tied for 22nd. Jason Day won this tournament in 2010. Adam Scott won it back in 2008. That was Stephen's second PGA victory. He took out the Valero Texas Open last year, so he loves Texas, his home state. But Bowditch, we'll find out. We'll make a call to him and say, what would you prefer, mate, so we get it right. Rugby league over the course of the weekend. Game tonight, the Roosters, Melbourne Storm at Allianz Stadium in Sydney. The Eels, I can't believe it. The Panthers were down on troops. Moylan went off. Sauer was in strife. 26-20, the Eels won. And I think they've got twin brothers playing for Parramatta, some of those fellas. The Rabbitohs over the Titans, 22-16. The coach of the Titans was blowing up like an old tram about what happened. He thinks he got dudded, but he asked the chief executive, could they afford 10,000? Graham Innesley said, no, we can't. The Broncos, 24. The Raiders, 12. Ricky Stewart took the safe option. He still might get fined. He left the media conference. He wasn't going to get himself into trouble. He wasn't happy with what happened there. The Cowboys over the Manly side, 18-14. The Warriors over the Knights, 24-20. And the Dragons. What about the Dragons? Paul McGregor. You give a young bloke a chance and he does this. 42 points to 6 victors there. And the Bulldogs and the Tigers had buys. French Open, it's not been good. Nick Kyrgios is gone. Andy Murray got rid of him, 6-4, 6-2, 6-3. Kokkinakis, he was beaten by the world number one Djokovic, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. Sam Stosur, she was beaten by world number two Maria Sharapova, 6-3, 6-4. That was at the French Open. Now, AFL. Sydney gave it to Carlton, 122 to 62. Bulldogs gave it to Greater Western Sydney, 113 to 68. St Kilda beat the Lions by 108 to 86. 108 to 86. And by the way, Gold Coast haven't improved in the AFL because Hawthorn beat them 93 to 40. Super 15, the Brumbies beat the Bulls 22-16. The Reds over the Force 32-10, well done to Queensland. And the Waratahs beaten by the Lions 27 points to 22. 27 points to 22 it was there. Now, in soccer, we had 71,500 people at ANZ Stadium Saturday night to see Tottenham win 1-0 over Sydney FC, and Sydney will play Chelsea on Tuesday night at the same venue. And Sepp Blatter, remarkably, has won yet another term. Old Sepp, he's a con man. He's won a fifth term as the FIFA president in dramatic end of the campaign. His challenger, Prince Ali bin Al Hussein of Jordan, withdrew after preventing Blatter from getting his required majority in the first round. He's 79. He said, I'll be here for another 4 years. Obviously, there's no retirement age like there is for judges in New South Wales or Queensland. He can just keep going on and on and on. Australia voted for the Prince, along with the US and most of the European 53 members, but Blatter won with support from Africa, Asia, South America, because he looks after them. FA Cup, Arsenal over Aston Villa, by the way, by 4-0. 4-0 it was there. If you would like to join us, our open line number is 131873. You can get us as well, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au. And if you want podcasts and things like that, you go to the Ray Hadley page on Facebook and you can find all that. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. It's 23 and a half past nine right here.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
And we have snow and ice on the roads in the following areas. Goulburn, Hume Highway, Lake George, Federal Highway, Jindabyne, Kosciuszko Road, and between the Perisher and Charlotte Path in the Kosciuszko National Park. Chains are required on Kosciuszko Road, but four-wheel drives can get through. Sutton Forest, a truck smash, Hume Highway, 1 kilometre north of the service centre. South Wentworthville, a truck, he's broken down. Cumberland Highway, lane one northbound at the M4, and Bexley got a smash on Forest Road affecting westbound traffic near Stony Creek Road. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Zero in on your small business at Xero.com. Beautiful online accounting software. Start a free trial at Xero today. That's Xero with an X.
And for the George Pell supporters who are contacting me among people like Vivian and saying, how dare you? I mean, look, because he wears his collar back the front and he's got a funny hat, doesn't mean he's... You're not fair game here, I'm sorry. There are many problems with the Catholic Church, and we're seeing this with the Royal Commission at the moment. There are many problems with other aspects of religion as well, but just because he's got a cardinal in front of his name doesn't mean that I won't talk about him here. So I'm afraid if you're looking for a fall guy, you won't get it. Stephen says, I'm filthy. You painted the whole eastern suburbs with the same brush as Malcolm Turnbull. I still love the show. You might be surprised how many eastern suburbs residents actually listen to you. Well, look, I feel a bit sorry for you that Mr. Turnbull's living down there with you, and when he gets really cranky, he says, crumbs, that's bad, and things like that. But anyway, I do apologise, Stephen, if I've offended you. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Now, on another matter, we'll come back to George Pell in a moment. Possible morning showers and 16 degrees for Sydney. Penrith 16, Liverpool 16, Richmond, Parramatta and Campbelltown about 16 as well. In Brisbane, mostly sunny 23. The airport 23, Ipswich 22, Logan 23, Redcliffe 22, the Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast both 24. And you're going to have some sunny days to enjoy the start of the week up there in Queensland. Port Macquarie, wind easing, sunny and 18. Kempsey, mostly sunny, 19 degrees. Coffs Harbour, 20 degrees and sunny. Wagga Wagga, mostly sunny, 12. Griffith, sunny, 13. Goulburn, possible morning shower, 9. Cooma, a morning shower or 2, 8. Jindabyne, what about this? It's snowing, by the way, down there. Cooma and Jindabyne. Morning shower or 2, 5 degrees. In fact, let me go to Doreen, who's down there. Hello, Doreen.
Hello, Ray.
Is it snowing at the moment?
No, the sun's shining, but in town here in Cooma,
yes.
It's just magic white everywhere.
Oh, you got snow everywhere. Fell overnight.
Yes, it snowed overnight, and I think there'd still be over an inch and a half on the ground.
Would you normally get it this early?
Well, we don't usually have that much snowing in town itself.
Oh, really?
Cooma. No. We might have a bit of sleet and a little bit of snow. Mm. This is the most snow I've seen on the ground for 20 years.
Dear, oh dear.
It's beautiful.
Thank you, Doreen. Well, there's a live weather report from Cooma, where I said it's a morning shower at 2 and it snowed overnight 8 degrees. Thank you, Doreen. Morning shower at 2 for Jindabyne, 5. Orange, possible morning shower, 6. Bathurst, possible morning shower, 9. Lithgow, wind easing, cloud clearing, 8. Bowral, cloud clearing, 9. Canberra, possible morning shower, 11. We go to Mildura, sunny and 14. Now in Queensland, a little bit of rain about. Not at Hervey Bay and Maryborough. Partly cloudy, 24. Inland, 25. The coast. Townsville, possible afternoon shower, 28. Partly cloudy at Charters Towers, 27. Toowoomba, partly cloudy, 16, the maximum there. Kingaroy, partly cloudy, 19. Charleville, partly cloudy, 20. Mount Isa, possible showers of the Isa, and 24. Longreach, mostly sunny, 25. Emerald, partly cloudy, 25. Roma, possible morning shower, 20. Wallumbilla, the same. Dalby, possible morning shower, 18. St George, partly cloudy, 19. Gundawindi, partly cloudy, 18. And mostly sunny for Cunnamulla, and 20 degrees. Now, one of our listeners phoned from Quakers Hill, which is in Sydney. There's a greyhound running on the road at Quakers Hill Parkway towards the M7 near Farnham Road, so take care in the area. There you go. So we've got a greyhound running on the road at Quakers Hill Parkway towards the M7 near Farnham Road. The Channel 9 chopper has left Coquitlam on the central coast of New South Wales. The pilot tells me that one home has been completely destroyed, another with a lot of damage. So there's one home gone up there, another one with a lot of damage after that fire. We don't know how it started. Sharon's at Oxley in Queensland. G'day, Sharon.
Hi, Ray. How you going?
Good, thank you, my dear.
That's good. I'm just ringing up about Stephen Bowditch.
Bowditch.
Yeah, that's it.
Not Bowditch.
No, it's not Bowditch.
Well, all the Americans, even the Australian Americans, Ian Baker Finch, are saying Bowditch.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that, and I was getting very angry watching it on the telly, but it's Bowditch.
Well, let me tell you something, Sharon. Yeah? You can tell me how you know him later, but yep. We've spoken to Golf Australia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say 100% Bowditch.
Oh, well.
And we've spoken to his manager, who says he'll answer to both, but actually calls himself, as you've pointed out, Bowditch. So we need to tell Golf Australia that his name is Bowditch, as you've pointed out to me, not Bowditch, as they told us.
That's right.
All right,
darling. Exactly right.
So how did you know him?
I played with him about 12 years ago in a pro-am up on the Sunshine Coast.
How'd you go?
I won the ladies' part of it, so
Beautiful. That
was pretty good.
With Stephen Bowditch.
It was so good to see him win because he's had a lot of issues, that kid. And
he's had some mental health issues, which he's overcome, and it's fantastic.
It is. It was wonderful to see him do it.
Well done. Thank you for your help, Sharon. Yes.
Can I just say one other thing, Ray?
Go on, go for
your
life.
You still haven't sent me a present.
Why have we got to send you a present?
because I met you out at the continuous pool called I gave you some egg rings.
You're the egg ring lady. Stay there. It's on its way. Don't hang up. Stay there, Sharon. I don't think we had your address. That might have been the problem, but now we've got it off you and send you up. Can we send Sharon a little gift from the prize cupboard? Because she gave me some beautiful egg rings, which I might mention, Sharon, are still unopened in my cutlery drawer. They haven't gone anywhere, the egg rings, so thank you very much for that. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Now, I do apologise. We've got a bit of a leakage in the headphones, and we need to get some more headphones in here, boys, because I told you about the other ones being broken. They've given me headphones. I'm a bit deaf, so I turn them up really loudly. And as a result of me turning up really loudly, they're apparently leaking back in to the microphone. So we need to get some better headphones than the ones I've got at the moment. Social Services Minister Scott Morrison joins me every Monday. He's in our Canberra studio. Minister, good morning.
G'day, Ray.
There's been a series of cabinet leaks about the push by Immigration Minister Peter Dutton to strip citizenship from second-generation Australians. Apparently, half a dozen ministers were very much opposed to the measure, with Julie Bishop, George Brandis and Malcolm Turnbull among those who argued against it. Who's leaking?
Oh, I don't know, Ray, but what I do know is that the measure that was brought to Cabinet, which was the one that said if you're a dual citizen and you're involved in these terrorist activities, then we'll cancel your citizenship. It's a very similar proposal to the one that I initiated when I was Immigration Minister, and I'm very pleased that Peter Dutton has maintained that position. I mean, I think Peter's been doing a great job as Immigration Minister. He's certainly held the line on border protection and all of these other issues and preventing bikies coming back into the country and things like that. And I think, you know, he's continued that trajectory, and I commend him for it. And, look, that's the proposal. I think that's a fair dinkum way of dealing with the issue. If you hold two citizenships and you want to go and fight for Daesh, well, you can't come back.
So you are someone who would argue against stripping citizenship from second-generation Australians who are engaged in terrorism?
No, look, there's a discussion paper. And the issue here is, how do you prevent someone who's gone over there? And remember, that's who we're talking about. We're not talking about people who go for a holiday to Great Britain to see their relatives or the Ireland or Canada or wherever. We're talking about people who got on a plane, flew into Turkey, crossed over at the Syrian border, and got involved with this madness with Daesh. Now, I would welcome any opportunity to look at any option that prevents those people to coming back to Australia.
So you would support what's been proposed?
Well, I think there's another way to do it, which is actually in the discussion paper, where you can actually, someone can continue to be an Australian citizen, but you can remove their ability to enter and remain in Australia. In the same way, if someone goes to prison, they don't get to vote. They're still a citizen, but there is an entitlement of citizenship which is suspended for a period of time. Now, the issue here is when people get over there and they get into this madness, it changes them forever. We know that was the case when people returned from Afghanistan previously, and the high level of their involvement in terrorist activity in the decade that follows. So, you know, we can all get very interested in the broader issues in this debate, but there's a very serious national interest issue here, and that is it, when these characters come back, there is a very high risk based on form that they'll get involved in terrorist activity. So I think we've got to use every measure at our disposal. That's why I support the Prime Minister and the Immigration Minister so strongly.
Did Malcolm Turnbull get cross with you?
No, look, Malcolm and I, as you know, we're good friends and we can have
these
discussions.
But did he get cross with you? Did he say, no, Scott, I'm very cross with you?
No, he didn't.
Did he use that
Malcolm
tone?
Malcolm respects my views
no,
and I respect his.
I know that you wouldn't swear at anyone in the ministry, but if he were to say, Scott, I'm very cross with you, would you say, bugger off, Malcolm?
I wouldn't care. Because, look, you have to have robust debates in Canada.
Well, it's not robust. It's fair dinkum. It's handbags at 10 paces. I'm cross.
Well, I'm in there. I know what goes on. And
so does everyone else now, thanks to everyone leaking it.
Well, actually, they don't, because I think there was some very self-serving sourcing of articles in the press. But that said,
so the leak wasn't accurate?
No, I don't think it really did convey what occurred in the meeting, and I'm not about to go into what did. All I know is,
well, then we could clear it up and get the truth out, and then you could put your name to it.
Well, then it wouldn't be Cabinet. Then it would be reality television, and I don't think that's
what it already is to a certain extent, according to some people inside Cabinet.
I think that's unhelpful, and I've never been one to engage in that sort of business. But I think it is important that you have a robust debate about this, and I think that, you know, the party's broader positions, supported by those backbench members, have made it pretty clear. Remember, it was Luke Simpkins and Steve Irons more than a year ago who turned up with Kelly O'Dwyer and a Labor member to actually support changes along these lines. And I was Immigration Minister at the time. I was very supportive of them doing that. And I think, you know, this is an important debate to have. But there has to be one clear message. I mean, you can't sugarcoat this. We're not talking about people who are, you know, who are acting up in a modest way. We're talking about people who go and fight for terrorists.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think the vast majority of Australians would be with you, and that's why I'm you know, testing the water in relation to Mr. Turnbull, because I think he's misread it yet again, as he's done previously.
Well, he's entitled to his view, and there's an open discussion and a consultation with the Australian community about this, and that's what the Prime Minister's seeking to do. But let's be clear, the actual measure regarding dual citizenship is one that was adopted by the Cabinet and which is supported by the party. Everyone knows where the Liberal Party and National Party stands on this issue. Who knows where Bill Shorten stands on this matter? He wants to play politics.
Well, he's worried about today is getting same-sex marriage on the agenda very quickly, and he doesn't seem to be worried about too much else. I mean, he doesn't appear to be a person of much depth, the opposition leader.
Well, he's put up the white flag on the budget. That's clear. I mean, after not only, I think, 5 days of questioning in the Parliament, he's walked away from that and he's gone off on a whole range of other issues. The sort of issues which I think are really going to dominate the ALP's national conference. I mean, they're split on the issue of same-sex marriage, about conscience votes and mandating positions, which is what the left wants to do at the Labor Party. They've all been flipping and flopping their positions now for some time, whether it's Bill Shorten or others. Look, they're entitled to do that, but they have an issue with that. They've got an issue with border protection. They don't know what they're going to do on that. They can't support turnbacks, and they're going to have to deal with that at their national conference as well. So everyone knows where we stand on those issues.
Just before we move on, because you are a friend, is that too stretching it, of Malcolm Turnbull? Did he say to you, Scott, I'm very cross with you?
No. And I don't know why you think he would.
Did he say I'm very... I mean, the old vernacular that you use in the Cronulla Lees Club when someone dud you, and, you know, you wouldn't say I'm very cross, but it appears Malcolm, being so refined, would say, Scott, you know I'm not happy with this. I'm very cross with you.
I've always found Malcolm to be a fairly fair-dinkum bloke, but I'm not going to be talking about the Sharks today after yesterday's effort at Cogger.
They were very ordinary. Okay, last week, legislation introduced to impose a one-month waiting period before young people could access the dole. How's that physically going to work?
Well, if you're looking for a job and you've just left school, you're under age 25, then you have to wait 4 weeks before you get on the dole. And in that four-week period, you've got to apply for jobs, you've got to put a CV together, you've got to get involved with the job service provider, and you've got to have a go. And if you don't, we're not going to give you the dole, which would be the youth allowance up to the age of 25. Now, we've got important exemptions in there for if you've got a disability or if you've got a mental illness or if you've, can't physically return home because of what might be abusive issues with parents and things like that. So we've got all the safeguards in place. All the excuses people who oppose these measures would say, well, you can't do it in these circumstances. Well, we agree. We're not proposing we do. What we're saying is when you leave school, the first place you should go is either to further study or go and get a job, not Centrelink. And Bill Shorten wants to run a shuttle from the school gate to the Centrelink front door. And those who are opposing these measures, I think, are sending the wrong message to young people about what we expect them to do. Now, we also agree that you've got to invest heavily in helping young people to get those jobs. And that's why in this budget we've invested some $370 million in trying to help young people who are finding it hard to get job ready, to stay in a job and stick in a job. So I think it's a comprehensive set of measures. It deals with those who we need to get off the couch, but it also deals with those who have some real issues of trying to get jobs. And $5.5 billion to support small business means that we're creating those jobs in small businesses where these young people can go and get a job.
Yeah, but you need Senate support. Obviously, you're referring to those people who aren't supporting the Senate. There's talk that Liberal Democrat Senator David Leadenhall will back your measures, but others won't. So what do you do to convince them?
The support is actually broader than that, and I'm not going to verbal senators. I'm in the... business of talking to them privately. I've been talking to them again just this morning. And as usual, I'm not going to raise expectations around this. I'm just going to do my job and work the issues through with the senators, and others can commentate on it. But I'm just getting on with the business of making my case to the senators. And once again, the senators on the crossbench are the ones who are thrown in the middle on this because the Labor Party can't bring themselves to support good policy. They are just a bunch of reactionaries who want to say no to everything and play politics with the Senate. Now, thankfully, the crossbenchers are engaging with us and don't want to be the pawns of Bill Shorten for his political game in the Senate.
Okay, when you were Immigration Minister before the current portfolio, you announced a policy of resettling boat people in regional towns. You apparently did a deal with Clive Palmer, allowing a five-year temporary visa instead of a usual three, as long as those people move to regional areas. Now, is that still going to happen?
Well, that's the policy, and the announcement on the weekend was that the New South Wales state government is engaging with that. And look, let's just see what people do. That was part of the
Is Mike Baird the first to sign off on this Safe Haven Enterprise visa scheme that we spoke about?
That's my understanding, yes. I mean, I'm not as closely involved with it as I used to be, for obvious reasons, but that's my understanding. And look, if they want to give it a go, good for them. It wouldn't. I understand it from the report that it doesn't include Sydney, Newcastle and Wollongong, because it has to be a regional area.
Yeah, sure.
And look, if it works, good. And I'm pleased they're going to give it a go, but it was part of the negotiation with the crossbench we went through last year. It was their idea. I was happy to back it in return for getting those measures through. I thought that was a common sense thing to do. We'll see how it works.
Okay, now, just finally, this one about same-sex marriage bill today that Bill Shorten appears to think is the most important thing on the horizon. And it is very important for some people, I acknowledge that. The Prime Minister has fended off questions about the budget, about this over the weekend, I should say, saying we should concentrate on the budget. I know you're opposed to it, but where should it rank in some sort of order of importance in relation to other matters?
Well, look, it was dealt with in the last parliament, and, you know, Julia Gillard voted against it, and she said she was in favour of it. So, I mean, I don't know how the Labor Party can sort of now all of a sudden think it's the issue of the day when they were in government. They dealt with it in their way, and it came to naught. What I think is the
realistic... Just interrupting you, I think that's a very important point you make. It's all well and good for Bill Shorten to be jumping up and down and for the Prime Minister's sister to be jumping up and down saying this is vital. I mean, the Labor Party had quite a number of years in government where they did bugger all about it.
Yeah, there was a bill and most of them voted against it. Well, many of them voted against it. But putting that to one side, I mean, I think we have to be careful here. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, feeling about this, and and what happened in Ireland was obviously very significant. But we've still got a budget to pass and very important issues that go to jobs for young Australians in particular, and we've got to get the budget on track. Now, that's our priority, and that's what we're working to. But, look, there are a lot of complexities around this issue. I mean, for example, I mean, what does all this mean for religions such as, you know, any churches or mosques for that matter or synagogues? I mean, what are the protections for them about being discriminated against if they refuse to marry people in that situation? I think we've got to be very careful to think through all the consequences here and how all of that's going to be dealt with. It's just not about putting in a private member's bill and try to, you know, capture the politics of the moment and partisanise something which I don't think should be. I think there has been a reasonable level of respect shown for everybody's views here. I hope that continues. But there also needs to be a pretty hard-headed analysis. I mean, the institution of marriage came from religion. It was adopted by the state. And I've always been a firm believer in the separation of church and state. And the main reason for that is it protects the church. And I think the church's institutions do need to be protected.
Okay, as always, thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
Scott Morrison from our Canberra studio. Cindy's been in contact from down south. Ray, issue on the road, 5K outside of Cooma at Mount Gladstone. Either ice on the road or accident. We're not quite sure yet. She's in a line of traffic not moving, listening to us on 2XL. Cindy, we'll try and find out from Wally a bit later. But if you're listening through 2XL, about 5K outside of Cooma at Mount Gladstone, it's either an accident or ice on the road and traffic is not moving there. We'll try and ascertain, if you're in that queue of traffic, exactly what's happening. It's 14 to 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
No reports of a smash in that area at this stage, but we do have a lot of snow and ice on the road in the following areas. Goulburn, Hume Highway, Lake George, Federal Highway, Jindabyne, Kosciuszko Road, and between Perisher and Charlotte Pass in the Kosciuszko National Park. Chains are required on Kosciuszko Road. Four-wheel drives can get through. M4 still rather busy in the Parramatta down to James Roos Drive. At South Wentworthville, truck broken down. Cumberland Highway, lane 1 northbound at the M4. And Auburn breakdown, St Heliers Road, lane 1 southbound. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Looking for a home loan approved in one day? Real Home Loans. One real low rate, one day approval. Visit realhomeloans.com.au today. Conditions apply.
131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. I'll just check back through my records after the call from the lovely lady that came and saw us at Oxley. And we sent an email on the 20th of April. Where are we up to now, the 1st of June, to make sure she was sent something? So someone's going to get their backside kicked when I come off air today. That was embarrassing because she'd given me a gift and I was very, very thankful. And we picked out some gear and supposed to send it to her, and it never got there. Anyway, if in fact it did leave. Some people have sent me some photos of what's happening. Perisher Valley, Ray. Oh, beautiful. Look at all the snow there. That's from Chris. Met you last year when you came down here. Thank you, mate. David says, a photo from a friend of mine at Cooma. Thank you. Oh, what a beautiful photo. From, it looks the front veranda of a property as the sun's coming up in the east and a blanket of snow. That's worth putting on the website. I'll forward that to our staff here in digital and get that put on the website. That's a beautiful photo. Thank you so much for sending that. That's from Dave. Well done, Dave. Dave's at North Nowra. I got it from a friend of his. And it's beginning to look a lot like winter in Charlotte Pass. There's another listener. Let me have a look. Oh, crikey, there's another one. That's the one that's been generated commercially, I think, that one. I don't know if we can use that, but thank you so much for sending it down. 131873 is the open line number, 2GB.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Wendy says, the Minister, Scott Morrison, speaks a lot of sense regarding this same-sex marriage debate. How much would it cost? Surely it could be deferred and spoken about at some other time. Well, the problem I have with all of this, and I don't, you know, I don't necessarily have any opposition to it, but the Labor Party in government had plenty of time to do something about it. They get in opposition and jump up and down on the one spot. It's 8 minutes away from 10. Now, a story from police media. A critical incident investigation team looking into the disappearance of a man after a chase in Penrith. Friday the 24th of April, going back a little bit, police attempted to stop a vehicle on Castlereagh Road at Penrith. It allegedly failed to stop. At the intersection of Carine Avenue, the vehicle came to a stop. Two men and a woman were arrested. Further inquiries have led police to believe a fourth person may have been in the vehicle at the time of the incident. He's not been seen since. He's identified as 22-year-old Jordan Morris, reported missing to police on the 26th of May. A search for this young fellow was initiated and police are appealing for the public assistance to locate him. A critical incident team from the Northwest Metro region will now investigate all circumstances surrounding that particular incident. So he hasn't been seen since that date. There's a story we'll deal with in the second hour about the father of a 12-year-old girl who organised for his daughter to be married and what hard time he's going to have in jail. That's what his lawyer's been telling the courts. I couldn't give a continental. We have a break, we have news, and back for the second hour of the Ray Hadley Morning Show. And welcome back. Good to have you company. 131873 is the open line number, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon. A couple of accidents to tell you about. Firstly, in Sydney, Michael's at Haberfield. Four-wheel drive hit traffic lights, Parramatta Road, citybound, and traffic is very bad. So on Parramatta Road at Haberfield, a four-wheel drive has hit the traffic lights there. And further afield, Peter's in Cooma. A car has spun out on the ice on Kosciuszko Road southbound, just south of Cooma. That might be the problem we spoke about earlier. So we've got a problem at Cooma. Car spun out in the ice, Kosciuszko Road southbound, just south of Cooma. And in Sydney, a four-wheel drive hit a traffic lights on Parramatta Road, citybound. Bad traffic, says Michael Nero. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Michael. 131873 is that open lane number, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. You can have your say. Ray, update for Cooma, ice on road. All-wheel drives getting through, police stopping all other vehicles. One car had a bit of a problem and being towed away now. Says Cindy. Cindy was stuck in that traffic. Thank you, Cindy. That's very kind of you. 131873 is that open lane number, 2GB.com. Ray, says John from Coffs Harbour on 2CS, the Labor Party is probably putting up this marriage equality debate to take the focus off the well-received budget. You can see the high input of Tanya Plibersek is due to her seat being in the centre of the Sydney metropolitan area, an area normally saturated with green voters. For the record, I believe in marriage equality. That will and it should happen. But let's get the budget through first, save the economy and worry about the other matter a bit later. After all, Labor had plenty of time to do something in power and didn't do anything about it. They're pretty good at doing it from opposition. I told you before the news, I'd have a look at this one from the weekend, I think Saturday. The father of a 12-year-old girl who organised for his daughter to be married to an older man in an Islamic marriage will have a hard time in jail because of his faith, his lawyer has claimed. The 63-year-old, who can't be named for legal reasons, was last month found guilty of procuring a child for sexual activity accessory before the fact to sex with the child. During his sentencing hearing yesterday, his lawyer, Mario Leisha, told the judge, Deborah Sweeney, the jail could be onerous because his offending stemmed from his Islamic faith. But the Crown Prosecutor, Siobhan Herbert, said the seriousness of the offence was high and that as the father, he was the person who should have protected the child. Ms. Herbert also said that the general deterrence should be given greater weight when Judge Sweeney sentences him. He was charged after his daughter married a 26-year-old Lebanese national in a ceremony in his living room. in the Hunter region January 12 last year. The girl, now 14, was also found to have fallen pregnant soon after the 27-year-old was charged early last year. She was taken to hospital after complaining of suffering sharp right lower stomach pain, and unfortunately for her, at the time she was miscarrying. The girl's so-called husband pleaded guilty to persistent child sex abuse, was given a maximum sentence of 10 years. The father will be sentenced on July 17. July 17, and I think he should feel the full weight of the law. Now, I got this lovely note last week, and I didn't deal with it, and I should have, from one of my listeners out at Cartwright in the southwestern suburbs. I thought you should know about the school spectacular. My son, Drew, has been performing in the disability dance group since the first performance of the disability group at school spectacular. He's also performing at the Bankstown Sports Club this week. Just received a letter from the school saying Drew has been selected to participate in dance workshop with the London Dance Group at the Opera House on the 4th of June. I'm so proud and thankful for sponsors of School Spectacular, and they've given Drew this chance to participate in something that he loves and looks forward to every year. Thank you as well to your radio station for supporting it, and to the teachers for their dedication to the children and the passion they show. That's a proud mum, Raylene. Good on you, Raylene. Well done to Drew. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. This one comes from Fairfax over the weekend. A 37-year-old teacher faces more than 30 charges of aggravated sexual assault and aggravated sexual intercourse after he allegedly had sexual relationship with two underage students over 3 years. Cameron White from Everleigh in central Sydney did not apply for bail or appear before the court when his matter was heard at the Parramatta Bail Court on Saturday. Police documents said Mr. White was a teacher at a George's River College when he had a sexual relationship with two 15-year-old students multiple times over more than 4 years. He faces 28 charges of aggravated sexual assault where the victim's under the authority of the offender, 8 charges of aggravated sexual intercourse and 1 charge of aggravated active indecency. It's alleged the offences were committed at Sutherland, Peakhurst and Oyster Bay. At the time of the offence, the victims were under the authority of Cameron White by reason of his being a teacher at that college. 7 offences were allegedly committed against the first student, and the second student was allegedly assaulted at least 21 times. In a statement on Friday, New South Wales Police said they arrested Mr. White at a high school in Oakley after an investigation began in May into the alleged sexual assault of 2 former students. A website for the Georges River College lists Mr. C. White as a teacher in humanities, vocational education and training, HSIE. A school newsletter dated April 1 names Cameron White as a teacher in charge of Federation and Workplace Health and Safety. A spokesman for the Department of Education said it would be inappropriate to comment on the situation because it's a police matter. The staff member has been removed from the school. It didn't refer to his arrest on Friday. Was part of a policy by the Department of Education to remove teachers from contact with children where allegations were made. Now, the serious nature of the allegations mean Mr. White will remain in custody unless he proves why he should be otherwise released. He'll face Central Local Court again on June 4. In the meantime, he remains incarcerated. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Just a tragic letter from one of my listeners, writing, she says, with such sorrow. Last Saturday morning, 1:40 a.m, I lost my nephew in a car accident. He was only 20, turning 21 this August. He was a passenger in a high-powered car that lost control and was T-boned by an oncoming car at Razorback, which is in southwestern outskirts of Sydney. He didn't have a chance. His dad was waiting to pick him up about 400 metres further down the road. He'd phoned his father and said he'd get a lift and meet him halfway. Usually his dad would travel into Camden, pick him up from the pub, but not last Friday. My sister and my brother-in-law and his older sibling and her fiancé are devastated along with the rest of the family. He had his whole life in front of him, worked hard, just bought a new nice car, did the right thing, left it at home when he went to the pub. I'm writing to you as we are grieving, thinking it's simply not fair. It was a P-plate of the driver of the car. It's just so unfair watching my family go through this. You think it's not going to happen to your family, and quickly your life changes. His sister's getting married in November, looking forward to this family event. He was a very talented young sportsman, natural at everything. He loved kicking a soccer ball, playing cricket, but this is no more. This time last week, life was great. Now it's the biggest nightmare any family can have. That comes from his aunt. Life changed so quickly. 131873 is our open line number, 2GB.com. Dear, oh dear, his aunt also writes that he was a great NRL Bulldog fan. I wonder if the Bulldogs could do something to honour his memory. The family obviously struggling in all sorts of ways at the moment. We'll pass on your request to the club, and normally Des Hasler, when we make those sort of requests, comes to the party rather quickly when it involves such tragic matters. We'll pass it on to you. I haven't named the young man. I don't have permission to do that, but please accept my condolences. 131873 is the open line number, 2GB.com. Checkoutnews.com, Craig Thompson in China. Speaking up mining. Not paid, only expenses. Well, I'll have a look at it. First I've heard of it. We'll get onto the News Limited website and check it out. Thanks for the tip. 131873 is the open line number, 2GB.com. Click onto that feedback icon and you can have your say. Plenty of people wanting to have their say as well. Yeah, here's a bit more. Craig Thompson talks up Aussie mining in China. I had no idea he had a mining background. Let me have a look at it. It's gone online, and someone's just sent me a link to it. Yes, published this morning. Australian, and there he is, in China, standing at a lectern. Australian mining has always had its fair share of rough diamonds, but the emergence of Craig Thompson as an ambassador for the industry is a most unexpected development. Fairfax Media can reveal that last week the disgraced former Labor MP addressed a metals conference in China where he talked up investment in junior bauxite miners in Australia. According to Mr. Thompson, his presentation went down well. He's been invited to talk at two more mining seminars in Asia. The former member for Dave Bell, who famously blew more than $5,000 of union money on prostitutes, was engaged by a small mining consultancy to write and deliver a speech at the 6th Annual Aluminium Raw Materials Summit in eastern China. He addressed the conference on behalf of the company, registered in July 2014, that operates out of a recruitment agency in the Sydney suburb of Baulkham Hills. Now, who did I get an email from telling me he was having a meeting at North Rocks with someone whose name I recognise from Baulkham Hills? Now, the company is called XBAUXI, and it's registered in Baulkham Hills, and he was having coffee with someone at North Rocks. I'm just trying to think who it was. The company's website claims the company deliver mining projects from initial concept through to construction, management and operation support using multi-skilled project delivery. Not a lot of mining companies are based in Baulkham Hills, I can tell you, which is in the northwestern suburbs of Sydney. Mr. Thompson said the thrust of his speech was encouraging investment in smaller Australian bauxite players who compete against the market giant Rio Tinto. Mr. Thompson was listed in the program by the host, Asian Metal, as a partner of the company, but told Fairfax Media he had no direct financial hand of the company and was not even paid. They needed a speech written. I didn't get paid, but they covered my travel expenses. It was an opportunity, and basically I'm desperately looking for work. I've got two young daughters to feed. Well, his wife's still working. Mr. Thompson narrowly avoided prison after being convicted on 13 charges of theft relating to withdrawals. I bet his CV for the Chinese host didn't say anything about that. His re-emergence comes less than 2 months after he told a judge in Melbourne that mental health problems and suicidal thoughts would prevent him from fighting a civil case brought by the Fair Work Commission for the alleged misspending of $243,000. Mr. Thompson provided evidence from his psychologist that he suffered from a major depressive order and other conditions, but failed to convince Federal Court Justice Christopher Jessop to dismiss the case against him. The company involved, XBAUXI, declined to comment. We'll do a little search and find out a bit more about that company. It's 17 minutes past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian fleet sales. Call 1-300-USED-CARS.
Ashfield, Haberfield, the smash Parramatta Road just there at Dalhousie Road. Watch out for the emergency services. Pimble, another one there. Pacific Highway northbound near Telegraph Road. Snow and ice on the roads of the following areas. Goulburn, Hume Highway, Lake George Federal Highway, Jindabyne, Kosciuszko Road, and between Perisher and Charlotte Pass on the in the Kosciuszko National Park. Chains are required. Four-wheel drives getting through, though. South of Coomera, smash on Kosciuszko Road. Sutton Forest, a truck smash Hume Highway, north of the service centre. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The turbo diesel Nissan Navara 4x4 dual cab silver line special edition is now in run out from only $34,990 drive away. See your Nissan dealer now. Limited stocks available.
Lana says, Ray, is there somewhere on your website we can go to get all the radio stations you broadcast to? Went away to Brisbane from Hervey Bay. Yes, Lana, just go to the Ray Hadley page and there's a list of the stations that take the program. That's for anyone else there as well. Look, we're getting some great photographs from Snow Country. Adam sent me one. Ray got the road over again here in Cooma. Attached photos of the kids before school getting dragged by our dog Moose in our driveway in Jindabyne. Thought you might like it. Geez, Adam, it's a beauty. Like a little sled of there down the driveway. Geez, there's a fair covering of snow there. Inches and inches off the ground in Jindabyne. Thanks, mate. We'll put that on the website. Appreciate it. 131873. Last year, I took a call from Basil. His call became one of our most downloaded podcasts ever. Have a listen.
Got a bit of an axe to grind with the ambulance service of New South Wales.
Yes, Basil.
Do you mind if I tell you the story?
How long is it going to take, Basil?
I don't know. What it is, the summary of it, therefore,
yes,
is that they've charged me $371.
And why
for
is that?
The service, and they never told me that that's what it costs to pick someone up.
Who do you think was going to pay the bill?
Well, anything I buy, I know what I'm paying for.
Well, Basil, tell me why they picked you up. Where were you and what were the circumstances?
They told me that I rang 000 and I complained that I wasn't feeling well.
Basil, you phoned them, they didn't phone you?
000, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you phoned 000. Normally when you phone 000, you're crook. What was wrong with you?
I felt I couldn't breathe very well.
So you thought you may have been suffering a cardiac arrest, did you?
No.
What did you think you were suffering?
Short breath, I thought.
Well, why didn't you take yourself straight up to the doctor if you didn't think you needed an ambulance?
Well, because it was in the morning and I didn't think that I would be charged if I...
No. Listen, Basil, you're sitting there, you're short of breath, you think you're probably going to die, otherwise...
No, I'm not thinking I'm going to die.
If you're not thinking you're going to die, you shouldn't have phoned 000.
I don't mind. If I knew I had to pay for it, I don't mind paying for it. I'm not trying to...
Well, Basil, as I've just said, it's called the ambulance service, but it costs a lot of money to run, and unless you're a pensioner or a person who can't pay for it, you're expected to pay for it. Now, do you have any private...
I want to know what I'm paying before...
Basil, do you have any private health insurance?
No.
Anyway, we heard from the New South Wales Ambulance Commissioner Ray Crean, who thanked me for sticking up for the paramedics and their service. But in yesterday's Sunday Telegraph, it was revealed that 1 in 10 people in New South Wales don't pay their ambulance bill, which averages around $400 a trip, like Basil. Unpaid bills have cost the New South Wales Ambulance Service an estimated $100 million over the past 3 years, about $33 million a year. Up until now, the cost of chasing them through the courts has outweighed the money owed. But the New South Wales Ambulance Service Commissioner, Ray Crean's on the line. G'day, Ray.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. Well, Basil's call highlighted the attitude towards our ambulance service. Some people think it's a free taxi service.
It did. And obviously, for most people, for a lot of people, it's not. You know, it's a very expensive service. We are trying to help as many people as we can, as quickly as we can. And in order to do that, you know, there needs to be a contribution to the fee and to the cost.
Mm.
New South Wales government subsidise it heavily anyway by 49%, so anybody who has to pay a fee only pays 51% of the cost as it is.
See, Basil typified what you've told me here before, that, I mean, I tried to get him to convince me that he was, you know, in fear of his life, but he wasn't. He wasn't, and so instead of getting himself a taxi or getting someone in the family to run him down to the GP, he thinks, well, there's a taxi service here called the ambulance. I'll ring them. They'll take me.
That's correct. Yeah, a lot of people, unfortunately, do believe we're just a taxi service.
Hmm.
And again, we're trying to convince the public, you know, to help us help you, really. And firstly, only call 000 if it's an emergency and life-threatening. Otherwise, use Health Direct or your GP. And also help us to help you by, you know, please pay your bill. You know, that helps us provide a better service to the public in New South Wales.
Now, new laws come into effect today allowing the Office of State Revenue to recover unpaid bills without going to court. Is that right?
That's correct. The Act comes into effect today, which means that eventually if someone who can pay the bill doesn't, then we would be able to pass it over to the Office of State Revenue for them to follow up.
Some people will still be exempt Commissioner?
The usual people will still be exempt, so all the concession card holders, healthcare, concession card, pension card, Department of Veterans Affairs, and Commonwealth veterans will be exempt. Anyone, as I said, anyone who's not exempt only pays 51% of the bill anyway, so the average bill is $349 for the call-out plus some kilometres. So it's about $420 is the average payment we ask from someone who can't pay.
And in many cases, it saves your life. I mean, given your wide experience, not just in this country, but in your place of birth, is this a problem worldwide where people treat ambulance services, and we're broadcasting to other states and territories at the moment, they simply think it's a taxi service? That, I know we had discussions about people jumping in the back to go down and get some groceries and jumping out of the back.
I think there's clearly a perception that, you know, if you need help, everyone's level of emergency is based on their own perception. And so definitely if you think you need an ambulance, you should call 000. But there's quite a few people who really need to just give a bit of thought to that. And if it's a stub toe or a poorly finger, then probably they shouldn't be calling us. It's an easy number. Everyone knows 000, and they know that when they dial 000, someone will come and help them. So, unfortunately, it is open to abuse.
Okay, well, hopefully after today, that'll stop. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Ray.
New South Wales Commissioner of the Ambulance Service, Ray Crean. And I'm sure the commissioners in Queensland, the ACT and Victoria, confront the same sort of problems on a regular basis. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show this 60 Minutes program from last night featuring Peter Saunders. Mr. Saunders has been appointed by the Pope to be part of a process to investigate the abuse of children by the Catholic Church. Now, there were quite some revealing things presented last night by Mr. Saunders, and I should point out that the Cardinal, who says he's always taken a strong stand against child sexual abuse and put in place processes to enable complaints to be brought forward and independently investigated, he's indicating legal action at the moment over what was presented on the program last night, but he's going to have a problem or two in some of the audio you're about to hear from 60 Minutes on Channel 9. Let's firstly go to the piece of audio to start it all.
I would go as far as to say that I consider him to be quite a dangerous individual.
Why is he dangerous?
I'm interested in supporting survivors and protecting children. And people who have covered up, people who have denied, people who have got their stories mixed up around these issues to do with survivors and child abuse, they, to me, represent a danger to the whole progress of child protection.
Now, that's Peter Saunders. Cardinal Pell has said that he's always taken a strong hand against child sexual abuse. But, as I questioned at the top of the show, why did he show such strong support walking into court with now that highly reviled pedophile Gerard Bridgedale, who is perhaps the worst of the worst? He walked into court with him on that day. It continued on 60 Minutes last night.
I have seen in all the interviews, in all I've read, in all I've heard, I see not a shred of evidence that George Pell has any sympathy, empathy, or any kind of understanding or concern for victims and survivors of these crimes.
And then we get to the crux of the matter, which is a bit difficult for George Pell to defend, I would imagine. Tara Brown, the late Richard Carlton, in this audio, along with the aforementioned Mr. Saunders.
When they spoke to Richard Carlton in 2002, Anthony and Chrissy Foster wanted their identities disguised. Their daughters, Emma and Katie, were repeatedly sexually abused by their school priest. But when the Fosters approached the then Archbishop of Melbourne, George Pell, seeking his compassion and understanding about their daughter's abuse, including Emma's subsequent suicide attempt, this is how he responded.
He showed Pell a photo of him presenting our daughter with a confirmation certificate. At her confirmation, his response was, "That's a very nice photo. That's lovely." As if to say, "That's how we want the children coming out of the church." We then showed him a photo of our daughter just after she had cut her wrists with blood coming out of them. And his only comment, with absolutely no change in attitude, in facial expression, was, "Oh, she's changed, hasn't she?"
They're not a very happy family, are they, Archbishop?
No, no, they've suffered a lot.
Yeah, those photos he was talking about.
Yeah, good. Which is the...
That's the one, I think, of you confirming the lass.
Yes.
And the other one is later.
I've never seen the photo...
with a slashed wrist.
With a slashed wrist.
So, an outright denial by George Pell that the Fosters showed him that photo. Emma has since taken her own life. Then, in 2013, at the Victorian Inquiry into the Handling of Child Sexual Abuse, came this astonishing contradiction from the now Cardinal George Pell, that the Fosters did show him the photograph.
When Chrissie and Anthony Foster showed you a photograph after their daughter Emma had slashed her wrist, did you respond, and again I quote, she's changed, hasn't she?
Probably, but... Let's put this in context. Now, we know that was an attempted suicide. You've got to understand that this was a... production of this photo was something sudden. I didn't have a chance for a considered response. I fully understood the enormity of the suffering.
In 2002, George Pell told Richard Carlton the Fosters had never shown him the photograph. In 2013, he told the Victorian Inquiry they did.
Okay, well, he's got a few questions to answer, George Pell, and that's why he probably should return to Australia from the Vatican and answer those questions promptly. Story from the Northwest Star in Mount Isa. A 29-year-old electrician who was caught driving through an amber light in Mount Isa recorded a blood alcohol reading four times the legal limit. Joshua Gary Russell fined $2,000 and had his licence taken from him for 18 months after pleading guilty to two charges at the Mount Isa Magistrates Court late last week. The Queen's birthday long weekend is coming up and everyone loves a bit of extra time off to make sure you've got the energy to make the most of your long weekend. Nature Bee has a right royal special offer. This is the offer everyone loves because you get an extra month's supply of Nature Bee for free. Order 6 months' supply for $99.95. Get a whole extra month's supply for nothing. Call 1-800-147-009 and order today. Or visit the website naturebee.com. But you better hurry because the offer does end in 1 week, June 8. Don't miss out. Buy 6 months' supply of Nature Bee and get 1 month for free. Phone 1-800-147-009 or go to the website, which is naturebee.com.
Macquarie National News.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thanks, Ray. The mother of a teenager killed in a car rollover in Sydney wants to know why his supposed friends fled the scene and left him there to die as an inquest into his death opens. A man's been treated for burns to his hands, suffered in a fire which destroyed his home and damaged another on the New South Wales Central Coast. Bill Shorten will push ahead with legislation aimed at legalising marriage for same-sex couples, despite the Coalition and the Greens saying the issue should be delayed. And the Salvation Army's thanking Australians for their generosity towards the Red Shield appeal over the weekend, with the door knock raising $4,882,000. In sport, Melbourne can leapfrog the Dragons to top spot on the NRL ladder if they can beat the Roosters at Allianz Stadium tonight. Ray, more news and sport in 25 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. A story coming out of Woolloombar. A critical incident investigation has been launched after a fatal car crash in the state's north. Police were called to Woolloombar at midnight last night. Reports of an intoxicated male. As police arrived at the location, a vehicle sped off from the scene and subsequently crashed into a pole a short distance up the road. The man driving the car died at the scene. The other man travelling the vehicle was not injured. The critical incident team from Richmond LAC will now investigate all circumstances surrounding the incident, the investigation being overseen by Professional Standards Command. And there'll be, of course, information provided to the coroner. It sounds pretty clear-cut what happened there. The Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has promised swift and decisive action over animal cruelty in the state's greyhound industry. Commissioner Alan McSporran, QC, handed over the inquiry's findings to the industry to Ms Palaszczuk today. How could animal cruelty on this scale exist in Queensland? I want to make it clear to Queenslanders that those responsible will be brought to justice, she said after getting the report, and the report's even worse than what we saw on the ABC. 131873 is that open lane number, 2GB.com. Ray says, Tanya from Sydney, in Belrose, we pay $86.30 a year to HCF for ambulance cover for my husband and I. This covers us Australia-wide for ambulance and for chopper evacs in remote areas as well. It would appear to be very cheap insurance. Very cheap. You're right about that. And another listener, Marilyn, says, with regard to your recent discussion about ambulance costs, most private health companies have an ambulance-only cover. In some cases, $48 a year or $96 a year for couples. Enjoying the show. Yes, Marilyn, we're aware of that, and it's good. And people that can afford it should do exactly that. But those who can't, who are on limited incomes because of pensions and the like, are well looked after. 131873 is the open lane number. Now, residents in Queensland have ambulance cover provided by the Queensland Government. The state-funded ambulance service offers coverage to the residents nationwide, apparently. That's if you live in Queensland. The time is 24 to 11. It's good to have your company. 131873 is the open lane number. 2GB.com. Ruth, hello.
Hello, how are you going?
Well, if I tell you the truth, Ruth, I'm not 100%. I've got a bit of the flu, but apart from that, I'm all right.
Well,
I feel good.
It's a beautiful sunny day here on the Mid-North Coast.
Whereabouts on the Mid-North Coast?
I'm at Willa Warren.
Well, you know something?
Yes?
I haven't heard from Willa Warren for years, but my father, my late father, used to go to a Willa Warren dance.
I know. And the funny part is, my husband, Jeff, he used to go with your uncle, I think, in a log truck.
Well, that'd be Uncle Colin, the late Uncle Colin. Uncle Colin drove a log truck. Yeah, that's
it. Yep, he did.
How old's your husband?
Oh, should I say?
Go on, just roughly.
I think he's about 67.
Oh, he's a lot younger than both. my dad would have been coming up for about 88 this year or thereabouts. Yeah. Uncle Colin was a couple of years older than him, so he's much older than your husband.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, Willa Warren, yes, I remember my uncles and my dad talking about going to the Willa Warren dance when they were young blokes.
I know, and it's still a beautiful little community.
Good on you, darling.
I love it a lot. But listen, all I was ringing is to say, why do people not have private health cover for ambulance?
Well, given that it's
that's
so affordable,
it's under $100. Yeah. It's under $100 a year.
Yeah, I've got it as part of my overall health coverage.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you could get it so cheaply. To tell you the truth, Ruth, until I had a look today,
it's very
affordable.
Like under $100 a year. We're with one particular company.
Yeah.
Anywho, if something goes wrong with a chainsaw, something goes wrong with a beast in a yard, you can rely on them being there. And you know us country people,
I hope you're not with a beast in the yard or a chainsaw in your hand. I hope you leave that to the old bloke.
We don't ring them at any drop of the hat.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's just like, why do people not do that?
Well, that's one point, but then you get the bloke who rings up and whinges because they wanted to charge him $400 when he really didn't need to go to hospital in the first place anyway.
Well, I'm really sorry about those people.
Strange.
But when you can have your coverage for under $100 a year, like, why not just do that.
Now, just for my benefit, because I've never been to your beautiful village, we go to Willa Warren which way to get to Willa Warren?
Oh, west of Kempsey.
Yes, I know, but do you go the Armidale Road or the Slim Dusty Way?
Yes, you do.
Now, if I was coming from further north, Maxville, can I come from Maxville in?
Yep.
Because that's where my dad and uncles lived at Ewanguy Rail, so they would have come in from Maxville, I suspect.
Yep. Well, yes, of course you can. You can go to the pub with no beer.
Exactly.
And then you can come in the back track.
What's actually in Willa Warren?
Oh, just us. Not a lot, Ray, seriously.
All right, love, well, just you.
It's just us. It's a nice little community.
Beautiful.
It's really nice, actually.
All right, love. Nice to hear from you in Willa Warren.
Beautiful day today, honestly.
Was there a bit of fog this morning?
Yes, thank you very much for asking.
Okay.
Yes, and we've had some nice rain, which is beautiful.
Okay, I had a mate that used to live at Turner's Flat, so he Yeah, Graham. Graham Supple.
Suppy.
Graham Supple. That's my mate. I grew up
Suppy.
With him.
Yeah, he's related to my husband.
Well, hang on a sec.
Yeah.
He's related to your husband. I could be related to your husband too, because
Supple.
Graham's auntie Kathleen is my auntie Kathleen.
Oh, there you go.
Because Graham's mother Sheila and Kathleen are sisters.
Oh, there
and
you
auntie
go.
Kathleen was married to Uncle Sam, my uncle. There's a very coarse expression I could use here that I won't, Ruth. But we could be that sort of relation, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know. I understand totally.
All right, love.
Yeah.
Nice to catch up with you, cuz. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. From Willa Warren on the mid-north coast of New South Wales, 131873, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon. Look, there was a story on the weekend that was brought to my attention. I think Kay Dibben wrote about it in the Sunday Mail. and it's caused a bit of debate. A hospital has taken the extraordinary step of asking a court to allow a boy to be given a blood transfusion during a liver transplant after his parents, who are both Jehovah's Witnesses, refused consent. The boy, aged 7, was on the liver transplant list for a year, and his parents wanted him to have the operation but said giving him blood was against their religious belief. Brisbane's Children's Hospital has asked the Supreme Court to authorise medical staff to give any necessary life-saving blood during and after the boy's liver transplant. Doctors say the little fellow who has severe liver disease will die from liver failure without a transplant and will almost certainly need blood during the operation. The child, who lives with his parents and brother in a regional area, is small for his age, has portal hypertension and genetic condition that can affect multiple organs. In an affidavit filed in the Supreme Court, the hospital paediatric specialist, who's cared for the little fellow since 2008, said in her opinion the boy's liver was likely to fail within 2 or 3 years. Death is inevitable, an inevitable consequence of liver failure, unless a transplant is performed. The boy is mostly tube-fed and is on various medications. A transplant would cure the little bloke's liver disease, reverse his hypertension and other complications. In my opinion, liver transplant's the only treatment available to the boy's condition, the doctor said in an affidavit. She said performing a liver transplant without the necessary authority to deal with near certain need for blood risks the boy's safety. In a small patient, even a relatively small amount of blood loss can be significant. The doctor's affidavit said the boy's parents told her last year they're unable to consent to a blood transfusion because of their religious beliefs. She explained the risks of bleeding during a transplant and told them it would be almost impossible to do a major operation without a child needing a blood transfusion. The little boy's father signed a transplant consent form with the words blood transfusion crossed out and told the doctor he'd rather defer a blood transfusion until it was necessary to save the boy's life. Well, I mean, you can't start worrying about that when you're in the middle of surgery, surely to goodness. Queensland Liver Transplant Service Director Dr. Jonathan Fawcett said in a court affidavit 95% of transplant cases required a blood transfusion, including blood salvage from a patient. He said carrying out a transplant in a way designed to try and avoid blood transfusion would compromise the entire procedure. Although he's on the transplant list, his care is inactive, awaiting blood transfusion authorisation. The boy's father yesterday declined to comment, saying he had not been served the court papers. The hospital's application will be listed for directions next month. I mean, surely there has to be an expedited hearing on this one. You can't just keep sitting around waiting for that to happen. Just bizarre. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. I had a call from Ellen, who's in Sydney, who's very upset and didn't want to talk on air, but she said she's furious at her sister, who was also a Jehovah's Witness. The sister died, did she? Is that what she's saying? The sister died during surgery refusing a blood transfusion. She says it's a waste of life and must be stopped. Well, hopefully the court will get to that. Now, in relation to the successful Australian golfer this morning, Stephen Bowditch, we've spoken to Golf Australia, who say they're 100% sure it's Bowditch. I told you that earlier. But now his manager is confirming it's Bowditch. He answers to both, but his name is Bowditch. So we'll just confirm with, as I said earlier, Golf Australia, that his name is Bowditch, not Bowditch. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon, and it's 13 to 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
At Sutton Forest, a truck smash Hume Highway, 1 kilometre north of the service centre now. Snow and ice on the following areas: Goulburn, Hume Highway, Lake George, Federal Highway, Jindabyne, Kosciuszko Road, and between Perisher and Charlotte Pass in the Kosciuszko National Park. Chains are required on Kosciuszko Road. Four-wheel drives are getting through. At South Wentworthville, got a truck, he's broken down, Cumberland Highway. Lane 1 northbound just there at the M4, M1 Pacific Motorway. Looking good out of Sydney as you head towards Newcastle. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Driving to Sydney Airport this long weekend? You can make big savings on parking when you book online. Get a quote now at sydneyairport.com.au.
It's good to have your company. 131873 is the overnight number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon. I shouldn't be surprised at this, but today the former New South Wales Police Commissioner Ken Maroney and his family will attend a funeral service for his beloved wife, their beloved mother, mother-in-law, grandmother. But even allowing for that, Ken Maroney's chosen to send me a note. Ken Maroney, and he was known when he was police commissioner as Uncle Ken, and that's a term of endearment I can reveal. In no way should it be ever interpreted as anything other than endearment, because he was one of those fellas you just wanted to be around if you were a copper. He's a wonderful man who just happened to rise to the rank of New South Wales Police Commissioner. So given he's such a respectful, decent man, I'm hardly surprised on the day that he's about to attend his beloved wife Beverly's funeral. And I should also point out that today's a very special day for the family in more ways than one. It's the day of their 47th wedding anniversary today. And Ken's said, "Dear Ray, just a short note to express my sincere appreciation for your kind words after the passing of my dear wife Bev last week. Bev passed as she had lived, with grace, dignity and inner peace. Michael, Peter, Andrew and their families join me in thanking the Brayside Palliative Care Hospital for their care and love of Bev over the past 3 weeks. We're in their debt. Indeed, our family extends to every family who are facing difficult and challenging times with the health of a loved one every best wish for a speedy recovery. Ray, we've had so many calls from overseas throughout Australia, it's been overwhelming. But the boys and I particularly wanted to thank Bev's much-loved South Sydney Rugby League Football Club, to John Lee, the CEO, Adam Reynolds, who came and saw Bev, and to Darryl Maguire, who extend our heartfelt thanks. We shall lay Bev to rest today, our 47th wedding anniversary, knowing that she was much loved and in turn loved so many. Commissioner, I offer my sincere condolences to you, to Michael, to Peter, to Andrew, to their families, and to all the people who knew your beautiful wife and loved her so much." 1318 73 is that open line number, 2GB.com. So even confronting a terrible day in his life, he wants to thank other people, which is pretty typical of the Ken Maroney I knew. We had some battles on air, Ken and I, about various things, but he always conducted himself with great dignity and great respect, and he was a very, very good police commissioner, always thinking about those police officers that he was overseeing. The time is 5.5 minutes away from 11. 1318 73. I always get advice when I'm a bit croaky, like I am today. Licorice tea works really well for throats. I used to sing a lot, and when I had fluid, it'd clear my voice. Hey, but you feel better soon. Well, Kath, that's the problem. I don't feel unwell. I feel fine. Just a bit croaky, that's all. But there's no pain involved in talking. So, I mean, people say, "Why do you come to work?" Well, it'd be silly to sit at home if I can talk. It's not probably all that good to listen to, but it's just the way it is. And let me assure you, Kath, having been in this industry for 32 years, I have tried every concoction, every herbal tea, every gargle. I have an inhalation that my doctor, Dr. Morgan, gives me, which is paraffin, menthol and eucalypt, which I've been... and if I'm pretty sure if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have any voice, because I worked pretty hard at it. I worked all weekend. I spent last night with my head under a towel, on and off for about 3 or 4 hours to get here today, and I'm feeling okay. So I'm sorry if it doesn't sound good, but it's not causing me any concern. I hope it's okay from your point of view as well. And Catherine's from Tasmania is concerned about me as well. Catherine, don't be concerned. I got another email from someone who spotted Craig Thompson on a plane. And welcome back on 2GB and 4BC to the final hour of the Ray Hadley Morning Program on this Monday morning. 1318 73 is that open line number if you would like to join us. 2GB.com. You click onto the feedback icon. I won't identify this listener, but she's had an experience recently, or not her directly, but members of her family, with Craig Thompson. As I reported earlier today, Mr. Thompson has recently been to China. Now, we tried to ring the company he was allegedly representing, and they appear to work out of some call centre at Baulkham Hills. But we'll do the regular checks and see if we can find out a bit more about the company that he allegedly works for. But he said that he went there and didn't get paid for it, and then he makes the claim that he's got to look after his children and feed them and he can't get work. And yeah, Steve says he's claimed he needs to feed his two daughters, yet he travels to China to spruik mining investments. Then he clearly claims receiving no financial benefit apart from covering his travel. How does he propose to feed his daughters from China with no money? I'm puzzled, says Steve. Why wouldn't he simply stay here and dig ditches? If he wants employment to feed his children, why would he jump on a plane, go, you know, to that part of the world, 10 or 11 hours away, for no money? Now, Craig Thompson was on the same flight as this listener's husband and son from China last Saturday. They travelled business class. He didn't travel business class. Do you think that the Chinese mining entrepreneurs took him over on the cheap and brought him back on the cheap? Well, this listener makes the point, wait till he gets hold of their credit cards. Well, you're probably right. They'd be fearful of him getting his paws onto that. And she says, could we hear one Thompson song just for old time's sake?
I think he is doing a fine job representing the people of his constituency in this place, raising their concerns in this parliament, as is appropriate for a local member. And I look forward to him continuing to do that job for a very long, long, long time to come.
Thompson, your credit card was used at the red light. Whoever used it, why the hell didn't they use cash that night? Thompson, you damaged those free buses, right? So you owe them money, but you don't care if it's wrong or if it's right. Thompson, think we might have got you, Butler.
Oh, got you, Butler.
Thompson, we're pretty sure we caught you out, Butler. Credit at the red light. Surely that ain't your bright. Hope they had a good night. You lost Mother Ring of Rights. You're in some deeper shite. Hank Gillard really needs you. There's no way she could lose you. Cause if you go, we all vote again, then she's unemployed. The public's made its mind up. This party needs a shake-up. Told you once and we'll tell you again, you're in a better way.
Got you, Butler.
While I'm in the mood, I found a couple more.
I'm going to bore you a little bit now because I have done nothing wrong.
I thought lies were only true in fairy tales. And I'm pretty sure my mum's the Easter Bunny. The tooth fairy don't pay you. Santa's a rot, it seems. Craig, your innocence is only in your dreams. Cause then I heard your speech, and I don't believe you. Not a trace of truth. There's no doubt in my mind. You tell them lies.
I have done nothing wrong.
I don't believe you. I couldn't believe you if I tried.
The media is dominated by self-important commentators, not reporters.
You called Hadley a media commentator. Gee whiz, Craig, is that the best you've got?
I have done nothing wrong.
What's the use in lying? All you get is pain. Unless you're George Costanza, who will now explain?
It's not a lie, if you believe it.
Cause then I heard your speech, and I don't believe you. Once upon a time, at the top of my mind, you're telling lies.
I have done nothing wrong.
I don't believe you, I couldn't believe you if I tried.
I have done nothing wrong.
Well, the court didn't agree. Ray, Queensland, you mentioned free. Not really. All electricity accounts pay a levy to the Queensland Ambulance Service and no one gets a bill, but it is paid for indirectly. So it's like forced insurance, so to speak. Thank you for that. 11 past 11. Welcome back to the final hour of the program. A truck driver was seriously injured after two vehicles collided in the Southern Highlands in New South Wales this morning. 8:30 a.m., two trucks were travelling north on the Hume Highway at Sutton Forest when the collision occurred. One truck rolled coming to rest on its side. Emergency services worked to free the male driver. He's in a serious condition. The other truck driver was not injured, but will undergo mandatory testing. Traffic diversions are in place around the crash site and delays are expected. You can go to the livetraffic.com website for all those details. And coming out of our news at 11, a youth charged with planning a terrorist attack in Melbourne has withdrawn an application for bail. The move came as prosecutors are proceeding with an application in a children's court on Monday to have the 17-year-old's case transferred to the Supreme Court. The teenager, who can't be named, is also charged with possessing items connected with a terrorist act, believed to relate to three improvised explosive devices police allegedly found in his home in a raid on May 8. And out of Queensland, more than a dozen men are set to be sentenced next month for participating in a brawl on the Gold Coast that sparked those controversial anti-bike legislation. Now, the magistrate, Michael Quinn, set down a mass sentencing to start on July 22nd for 16 men who have pleaded guilty to a fray and other charges over the notorious September 2013